This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Evidence of the Afterlife, The Science of Near-Death Experiences by Jeffrey Long, M.D. with Paul Perry. Read by Bob Dunsworth. Introduction. A bit beyond perception's reach, I sometimes believe I see that life is two locked boxes, each containing the other's key. Pete Hine. It was 1984 when I first stumbled upon the phrase near-death experience, NDE, in the pages of a medical journal. It was several years later that I heard a friend's wife tell of her own NDE, when she nearly died of an allergic reaction while under general anesthetic. More than 10 years later, in 1998, I started the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation and its corresponding website, nderf.org. One of my goals for the site was to collect as many NDEs as I could and to collect them through a questionnaire that would make it easy to separate and study their elements. With such a questionnaire, I could examine the individual elements in NDEs or an entire NDE itself. I expected to be successful in an endeavor, but as it turned out, I have been wildly successful. Over the course of the first 10 years, more than 1,300 people who had a near-death experience spent many hours of their precious time answering over 100 questions in NDERF's detailed questionnaire. These people are of every race, creed, and color, and are from virtually every corner of the world. That so many people are willing to share their NDEs with others speaks volumes about the power of these experiences in a person's life. Respondents describe their experiences in a variety of ways, calling them unspeakable, ineffable, unforgettable, beautiful beyond words, and so on. More than 95% of the respondents feel their NDE was definitely real, while virtually all of the remaining respondents feel it was probably real. Not one respondent has said it was definitely not real. Some say it was not only the most real thing to ever happen to them, but also the best event of their lives. As one respondent, who nearly died in a suicide attempt, wrote, "I was at peace with myself. Nothing hurt. I could only see my life and self through that being's love. There was no negative in myself or from that being for anything I had done, including killing myself. It, my deed, was changed by the power of the truth of love with which it was seen. That loving grace, total acceptance, complete love and truth created a joy in me. I saw that love was in me too, not just from the being shining down on me. It was in me as a part of myself. I was full of love and peace. I felt the joy in that truth. I have no right words for it." I have seen this type of response from many people with near-death experiences. Imagine that, an experience that begins with the sheer terror of a life-threatening event and evolves into an event of wonder and mystery. I am a man of science, and as a result, I have examined the data from the NDERF study in a scientific way. At NDERF, we explored all of the elements in the NDEs of more than 1,000 people, examining consistency among the accounts. In researching conclusions about these accounts, we followed a basic scientific principle. What is real is consistently seen among many different observations. The results of the NDERF study clearly indicate remarkable consistency among NDE case studies. This study finds that what people discover during their near-death experience about God, love, afterlife, reason for our earthly existence, earthly hardships, forgiveness, and many other concepts is strikingly consistent across cultures, races, and creeds. Also, these discoveries are generally not what would have been expected from pre-existing societal beliefs, religious teachings, or any other source of earthly knowledge. In a world that is plagued by afflictions of the soul, this is very good news. Many of the personal and social problems that face humanity, drug and alcohol abuse, depression, anxiety, gang violence, religious strife, racism, and so on, could be greatly affected by such a powerful common experience. Because NDEs happen to people all over the world, they are a spiritual thread that binds us together, a common experience that reminds us of our mutual spiritual nature. At its very least, the NDERF study contributes information that strengthens our understanding of that spiritual thread. But the NDERF study is also exceptionally valuable in the way that it brings us closer to understanding what happens when we die. I long ago quit believing that death is the cessation of our existence. It took me a long time to reach this point. I was born into a scientific family. My father was the chair of the Department of Pharmacology at the University of Iowa, and a one-time contender for the Nobel Prize. Through him and others in our family, I developed great respect for science. By scientifically studying more than 1,300 cases shared with NDERF, I believe that the 9 lives of evidence presented in this book all converge on one central point. There is life after death. The convergence of several lines of evidence, like the 9 presented in this book, builds a much stronger case than only a single line of evidence. For example, suppose we only had 2 lines of NDE evidence. We may not be 100% convinced that these 2 lines of evidence prove an afterlife, but perhaps each line of evidence by itself is 90% convincing. Combined, these 2 lines of evidence by mathematical calculation are 99% convincing that the afterlife exists. Given how complex it is to mathematically analyze only 2 lines of evidence, imagine how mind-boggling it would be to mathematically analyze all 9 lines of NDE evidence. Fortunately, that won't be necessary. The NDERF website includes a custom-designed form that automatically performs these mathematical calculations. This website wizardry allows you to calculate for yourself how strongly you believe the 9 lives of evidence prove the existence of an afterlife. You can also see the results obtained from every other person who has completed this form. This form and other material supplementing this book is available on the NDERF website at our page that explores evidence of the afterlife. http://www.nderf.org/afterlife. The form addresses concepts presented throughout this book. Thus, I would encourage you to finish listening to this audiobook before you complete the form. What happens during a near-death experience? Before continuing, I should provide a detailed explanation of what a near-death experience is. Near-death experiences, NDEs, are events that take place as a person is dying or, indeed, is already clinically dead. People who have NDEs are called near-death experiencers, NDEers. From the time near-death experiences were first medically researched and described by Dr. Raymond Moody in his pioneering book, Life After Life, in 1975, medical doctors and other researchers have examined this phenomenon in depth. There is no widely accepted definition of near-death experience. The NDERF study took a straightforward approach by defining both the near-death and experience components of near-death experience. I considered individuals to be near death if they were so physically compromised that they would die if their condition did not improve. The NDEers studied were generally unconscious and often apparently clinically dead, with absence of heartbeat and breathing. The experience had to occur at the time they were near death. Also, the experience had to be lucid, to exclude descriptions of only fragmentary and disorganized memories. Throughout this book, we will present the results of the NDERF survey. Unless otherwise indicated, these will be the results from surveying 613 sequential NDEers who completed the most recent version of the NDERF survey. This version of the survey included the NDE scale questions. The NDE scale asks 16 questions about the content of the experience and is the most validated research method to help distinguish experiences that are near-death experiences from those that are not. The 613 NDEers whose survey results we are presenting here all had NDE scale scores of 7 or above, further validating these experiences as actual NDEs. The original version of the NDERF survey studied responses from 413 NDEers. The NDE scale questions were not used in the original NDERF survey. No two near-death experiences are identical. However, when many near-death experiences are studied, a pattern of elements that commonly occurs in NDEs is easily seen. These elements usually occur in consistent order. Researchers have concluded that NDEs may include some or all of the following 12 elements. 1. Out-of-body experience, OBE, separation of consciousness from the physical body. 2. Heightened senses. 3. Intense and generally positive emotions or feelings. 4. Passing into or through a tunnel. 5. Encountering a mystical or brilliant light. 6. Encountering other beings, either mystical beings or deceased relatives or friends. 7. A sense of alteration of time or space. 8. Life review. 9. Encountering unworldly, heavenly realms. 10. Encountering or learning special knowledge. 11. Encountering a boundary or barrier. 12. A return to the body, either voluntary or involuntary. The following are descriptions of each of these elements from the case studies I have amassed over more than 10 years of research, as well as the percentage of NDEers from our study group who experienced each of the elements. 1. Out-of-body experience, OBE. I could feel my spirit actually leaving my body. I saw and heard the conversations between my husband and the doctors taking place outside my room, about 40 feet away down a hallway. I was later able to verify this conversation to my shocked husband. One NDEer observed in the out-of-body state the reaction of the doctor to nearly losing this patient. "Why were you so upset, screaming and swearing in the operating room? Didn't you know that I could hear every word you said?" This NDEer then shared what the doctor responded. "You were right. I was so frustrated and tired and angry in that operating room that I just started screaming when we were losing you. It was either scream or cry. You were dying, and there was not a damn thing that I could do to stop it. I will have to rethink what I say to an unconscious patient from now on, won't I?" Out-of-body experiences are often the first NDE element. The NDERF survey asked 613 NDEers, "Did you experience a separation of your consciousness from your body?" In response, 75.4% answered yes. 2. Heightened senses. There isn't a way to explain it, as there is no feeling like it here on Earth. It was crystal clear. It was like going home at last. A feeling of belonging, of meaning, of completeness. It just seemed so much more real than anything I had ever experienced in my entire life. The NDERF survey asked, "How did your highest level of consciousness and alertness during the experience compare to your normal everyday consciousness and alertness?" Of the NDEer surveyed, 74.4% indicated they had more consciousness and alertness than normal. 3. Intense and generally positive emotions or feelings. This is the hardest thing to try and explain. Words will not come close to capturing the feelings, but I'll try. Total, unconditional, all-encompassing love, compassion, peace, warmth, safety, belonging, understanding, overwhelming sense of being home, and joy. All I felt was love, joy, happiness, and every wonderful emotion you could feel all at once. Total peace, total calm. I was not in the least bit afraid or anxious. When we got to the light, the totality of life was love and happiness. There was nothing else. And it was intense, very intense, and endless in scope. I felt an extreme sense of love and peace and beauty that I cannot describe in words. The NDERF survey asked, "Did you have a feeling of peace or pleasantness?" To this question, 76.2% selected incredible peace or pleasantness. The NDERF survey asked another question about a specific emotion during the NDE. "Did you have a feeling of joy?" NDEers responded to this question with 52.5% selecting incredible joy. A small percentage of NDEs are frightening to the NDEer. This topic is addressed in detail on the NDERF website. 4. Passing into or through a tunnel. My next awareness was of being submerged and cradled in a warm, wavy, wafting motion at the opening of a tunnel. The tunnel had billowy soft sides and was well lit, with the tunnel dimensions decreasing and brightness increasing as it got closer to a single bright light. We traveled very fast into a tunnel. The tunnel was all different colors, blue, yellow, white, green, and red. The NDERF survey asked, did you pass into or through a tunnel or enclosure? Of NDEers responding to this survey question, 33.8% answered yes. 5. Encountering a mystical or brilliant light. A brilliant white light at the end of the tunnel, and when the wings enveloped me, I became part of the white light. A beautiful light drew me to itself. The light still touches me with awe, and tears come immediately. At first the light was blue, then it transitioned to white. It was an opalescent white. It almost glowed, but did not shine. It was bright, but not intense bright, like glowing bright, pure bright. Pure, but not in the usual sense of the word. Pure, as in something you've never seen before or could ever describe or put into words. It was as if we passed through a wall into my light pod directly. There was a large, majestic center light, and then the individual yet connected pod lights, exactly like the center light, only smaller. I think now the pod lights, like mine, were other souls connected to the center light, God. The light may be described as brilliant, like a million suns, but virtually never hurts the NDEer to look at it. NDEers may dramatically describe their strong attraction to the light and their emphatic desire to approach or merge with the light. The NDERF survey asked, did you see a light? NDEers responded with 64.6% answering yes. 6. Encountering other beings, either mystical beings or deceased relatives or friends. I was surrounded by other beings, or people, who I felt as though I recognized. These beings were like family, old friends, who'd been with me for an eternity. I can best describe them as my spiritual or soul family. Meeting these beings was like reuniting with the most important people in one's life, after a long separation. There was an explosion of love and joy on seeing each other again between us all. My dad was right next to me, but I couldn't see him visually. My sister was very close. I felt she was to my left. I felt other family members close by, but I did not see them. My sister and other family members seemed to be more to the left. The only person besides my sister and my dad that I knew was there was my grandmother. There were others there, but none I can say for certain besides the ones I mentioned. I heard my mother's and daughter's voices, but my daughter, who was only approximately 2 at the time, well, it was the sound of her voice grown up, but I knew it was her voice. They called my name, and my body moved like through an air current very quickly. It was like the wind carried me so fast, and I saw a bright, bright light very quickly, and then a beach, and then I saw my mom and daughter standing on the beach. My daughter was grown up. The NDERF survey asked, did you meet or see any other beings? In response, 57.3% answered yes. When NDEers encounter deceased beings, most are deceased relatives as opposed to friends or loved ones. Some NDEers encounter seemingly familiar beings, but they cannot recall having previously met them. Later in their lives, some NDEers recognize a picture of a deceased relative as the being they encountered in their NDE. The relative may have died years or even decades before the NDEer was born. 7. A sense of alteration of time or space. When I first left my body, I had my diving watch on. I took some very unscientific measurements of the distance I traveled by watching for features and measuring them by the second hand on my watch. totally unscientific, but my conclusion was, and has always been, I was measuring time in an altered time. The ground never moved in a linear fashion. The distances were erratic at best. The distances were always changing, sometimes repeating and then instantly becoming longer or shorter than the previous distance. Yet my watch was always ticking without change. My intuition and impression were that I was in a different time zone, one where my earthly watch was of no use or inept in making any measurement or reflecting time. Also without mistake, I would say this whole thing took an hour or more. It seemed to me that I was in the NDE for a very long time, but when I asked my diving partners how long I had been unconscious, they estimated 5 to 10 minutes. Thus, I had another reason to support why my diving watch didn't seem to measure the time in my NDE. It seemed as though I experienced so much in such a small length of earthly time, where my soul had traveled to know nothing of time as we know of time passing on Earth. Both time and space and Earth stopped completely. Simultaneously, the time and the space on the other side was completely alive, evidential and real. Yes, while I was in the light, I had no sense of time as I know it here on Earth. In other words, no sense of the serial nature of time, past, present, or future. All times, past, present, and future, were experienced at every moment in time while I was in the light. The Ender survey asked, did you have any sense of altered space or time? To this question, the majority, 60.5%, answered yes. Another Ender survey question focused only on an altered sense of time, asking, did time seem to speed up? NDEers responded to this question with 33.9% selecting, everything seemed to be happening all at once. 8. Life review. I saw my life flash before me shortly after I left my body and was still in the hospital room. I was told that I was going to help educate and teach many people, and that is exactly what I am doing now. I saw every important event that had ever happened in my life, from my first birthday to my first kiss to fights with my parents. I saw how selfish I was and how I would give anything to go back and change. Next, he showed me my life review. Every second from birth until death you will see and feel, and you will experience your emotions and others that you hurt and feel their pain and emotions. What this is for is so you can see what kind of person you were and how you treated others from another vantage point, and you will be harder on yourself than anyone to judge you. I will not see what others have done to you. I will see what you have done to others. Life reviews involve a review of prior events of the NDE's life. Fragments of one's earthly life may be seen, or the review may be panoramic, covering all of one's earthly life. The NDERF survey asked, did you experience a review of past events in your life? To that question, 22.2% of NDEers answered yes. 9. Encountering unworldly, heavenly realms. Well, the end of that tunnel was the most peaceful place. It was beyond my imaginings, pure, serene, and loving. The landscape was beautiful. Blue skies, rolling hills, flowers, all was full of light, as if lit from within itself, an emanating light, not reflecting it. There was such beauty, beautiful beyond expression. There was also a bright city or something like a city in the distance. The colors and structures of everything were beautiful, awesome. All around me, I could see and feel a beautiful peace and tranquility with love and peace. As far as the eye could see to my left was a beautiful landscape of tulips of every color imaginable. To my right was a wall of beautiful blue that matched the sky. The sound of that music I cannot possibly describe with words, because it simply cannot be heard with that clarity in this world. The colors were out of this world, so deep, so luminous, so beautiful. The NDERF survey asked, did you see or visit any beautiful or otherwise distinctive locations, levels, or dimensions? To this question, 40.6% of NDEers chose yes. Asking this question in a more general way, the NDERF survey asked, did you seem to enter some other unearthly world? To this question, 52.2% of NDEers responded that they encountered an unearthly realm. 10. Encountering or learning special knowledge. When I looked into his eyes, all the secrets of the universe were revealed to me. I know how everything works because I looked into his eyes for a moment. All the secrets of the universe, all knowledge of all time, everything. I understood. I use this term because I did not actually hear. The colored drops were the experiences of all who had lived. The experiences existed as separate items yet belonged to the whole. The whole was the collective knowledge of all. The NDERF survey asked, did you have a sense of knowing special knowledge, universal order, and or purpose? To this question, 56% of NDEers answered yes. The other question asked, did you suddenly seem to understand everything? To this question, 31.5% responded that they seemed to understand everything about the universe, and 31.3% responded that they seemed to understand everything about myself or others. 11. Encountering a boundary or barrier. On my side of the boundary, time seemed to go slow. On the other side, time went by faster. There was this door in front of me with this music coming out, and people celebrating with utter joy that I knew and recognized as home. Once I crossed, I couldn't come back. I reached the point where I felt I had to make the choice whether to go back to life or onward into death. My best friend was there, who had died of cancer 2 years before, and she told me that this was as far as I could go, or I would not be able to turn back. You have come to the edge. This is as far as you can go, she said. Now go back and live your life fully and fearlessly. I wasn't allowed to cross that boundary. There was no choice. The NDERF survey asked, did you reach a boundary or limiting physical structure? To this question, 31% of NDEers answered yes. 12. A return to the body, either voluntary or involuntary. I remember as I looked down at them, I said to the angel, why don't they just let her die? I did not realize at that time the body that I was looking at was mine. Then in a commanding voice, she, the angel, said, you must go back now. She must live, she said in a soft, calming voice. She has a son to raise. I was really hurt that I couldn't stay because there wasn't anything I wanted more than to stay. Pure love is the best way to describe the being and place that I would be leaving. Under protest, I was sent back. I found out that my purpose now would be to live heaven on earth, using this new understanding, and also to share this knowledge with other people. However, I had the choice of whether to come back into life or go toward death. I was made to understand that it was not my time, but I always had the choice, and if I chose death, I would not be experiencing a lot of the gifts that the rest of my life still held in store. One of the things I wanted to know was that if I chose life, would I have to come back to this sick body? Because my body was very, very sick, and the organs had stopped functioning. I was then made to understand that if I chose life, my body would heal very quickly. I would see a difference in not months or weeks, but days. The NDERF survey asked, were you involved in or aware of a decision regarding your return to the body? To this question, 58.5% answered yes. Experience provides the best evidence. As far as I'm concerned, it makes perfect sense that the best evidence for understanding what happens when we die would come from those who actually did nearly die or even experience clinical death. This common sense perspective is certainly validated in the NDERF study. The substantial majority of people who had a near-death experience believe their NDEs are real and are evidence of an afterlife. For NDEers, having a near-death experience is their personal proof of both the reality of the NDE and an afterlife. In science, confirming the reality of a concept generally comes not from a single observation or study, but from many independent studies with different methodologies. This cross-checking among scientific studies has always been the foundation for validating scientific discoveries. Thus, it is vitally important to note that the ENDERF study findings are corroborated by hundreds of prior NDE studies conducted by scores of NDE researchers. Throughout this book, we cite many major NDE studies by other researchers. These other studies almost always make the same observations and come to the same conclusions as the ENDERF study. This adds to the converging lines of evidence that lead me to conclude there is life after death. I know this belief takes me out on a limb. Despite a recent poll by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life that shows 74% of Americans believe in life after death, I also know that this belief is often attributed to people with deep religious conviction. I want to make it clear that I am both a scientist and a believer in life after death. I have reconsidered much of what I was taught in medical school. This reconsideration began many years ago, when ENDERF had just started. I was in the medical library, searching fruitlessly for information about near-death experiences. It was unusually quiet that day, and as I sat amid tens of thousands of books and journals, I easily became lost in my thoughts. At my fingertips were the greatest medical and scientific studies and concepts in the world. Yet as I searched them, I found that the answer to the mystery of near-death experiences was not here. In the collective knowledge around me from the world's greatest doctors and medical scientists, I could find precious little to help me fully understand the near-death experience. I left the medical library with the question I had come in with: what's the key to understanding near-death experiences? Later, the answer came to me. It was so simple, yet it required a mindset different from the one cultivated in my academic training. The answer: listen, and listen carefully to the people who have gone through a near-death experience. They surely are one of the best sources for understanding what awaits us at the brink of death and beyond. Since realizing that fact, I have never looked back. Near-death studies focus on stories and the people who tell them. It is through these people and their stories that answers to many important questions about morality may be found. Chapter 3. Proof Number 1. Lucid Death. For death begins with life's first breath, and life begins at touch of death. John Oxenham. Speaking both medically and logically, it is not possible to have a highly lucid experience while unconscious or clinically dead. After all, being clinically dead means no longer having the perceptions or senses of a living person. If this statement is indeed true, then how do you explain events like the ones in the following three NDEs? In each of these events, cardiac arrest, brain hemorrhage, and a shooting, the person had a very lucid experience, which defies the fact that she or he was unconscious and near death. This first story is from a physician who worked feverishly to revive an elderly patient. As you will hear in his account, the patient appreciated the doctor's work from a ringside seat. After 28 shocks, I think, I got her back. She was technically without a cardiac rhythm of her own for 1.5 hours. That night, I went to the ICU and asked the elderly patient if she remembered anything. "Yes," she said. "I was in the corner of the room, floating, and I saw you working on me. You shocked me, and I was dead. I saw a massively white, bright light, and there were two angels there, telling me it wasn't my time and to go back, but I didn't want to." This patient had a brain hemorrhage that dropped him to the ground. He said he could see 360 degrees around his body. Before long, he had a profound sense of being dead, which wasn't a bad thing, by his account. "When I realized I was dead, which took several minutes, a great warmth of love engulfed me, and I felt arms wrap around me, even though I had no physical form. Colors were electric, smells fantastic. I was also aware of the overpowering secret to life in its truly simple form, and felt and believed that nothing else is real but the feeling. The experience of death has been the most real and physical experience of my life, and the world here felt cold and heavy and unreal for some time afterward." This patient was in a coma for 3 days, during which time he was visited by friends and family members. Still, he insisted he was out of body for the entire time and could hear and see what people in his room were doing. In one case, he proved it. A woman had brought a lavender candle to the hospital and placed it in the drawer near his bed. When he came out of the coma, he knew which drawer the candle was in. Not to go too far afield here, but the man also had prophetic dreams of a personal and worldwide nature. Not only did he see a relationship in his future, as well as events in his child's future, but he also saw a world economic downturn and a nuclear explosion in North Korea. Another example of lucid death comes from Michelle, who was shot by her boyfriend near Boston. She was in the process of breaking up with her beau and was in his basement apartment when she heard a loud blast and felt a hot, piercing pain in the back of her neck. As her mouth filled with blood, the boyfriend grabbed Michelle and said, "What have I done?" She left her body, and from a spot in the corner of the room, she watched as firefighters and police officers stepped around her body as they tried to figure out exactly what to do. The boyfriend's brother began to cry, and as he did, he threw up on a police officer, which was a sight that made her laugh. It was then that she had this revelation about death. "I felt so blissful and whole, full of the most love I had ever experienced. I thought to myself, if this is dying, then it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. Then I saw a light from above me. It was pulling me away from the room. I figured it was okay to just let this happen, to go with the flow and accept whatever was to be. The light was getting brighter, engulfing my body. Body? I had no body. It stayed back down in that damp room. I realized that I was dead physically, but mentally I was still alive. My soul was now my body. I looked up into the light. I could see someone beckoning me to come. He was there at the end of this lit tunnel. Then I heard a voice. It was a man's voice. He asked me if I was ready. I felt so good. It was so easy." Millions of NDEs like these happen worldwide every year to people who are unconscious and may be clinically dead with a loss of breathing and heartbeat. Yet they are still having highly lucid experiences at the time of death, experiences that are clear, logical, and well-structured. Even more remarkable is an NDERF research finding that consciousness and alertness is usually greater during the NDE than everyday consciousness and alertness. Even more remarkable is an NDERF research finding that consciousness and alertness is usually greater during the NDE than everyday consciousness and alertness. The NDERF survey asked, "How did your highest level of consciousness and alertness during the experience compare to your normal, everyday consciousness and alertness?" Of 613 NDEers surveyed, 74.4% indicated they had more consciousness and alertness than normal. 19.9% experienced normal consciousness and alertness, and only 5.7% had less consciousness and alertness than normal. The concept of a higher level of consciousness and alertness is subjective, so the NDERF survey asks NDEers to explain the sensation in their own words. NDEers were asked, "If your highest level of consciousness and alertness during the experience was different from your normal everyday consciousness and alertness, please explain." Hundreds of NDEers responded to this question, and here are some representative responses. A woman who was struck by a car wrote, "It was only different in the sense that it was another space and another perception of being. I believe there was an all-around awareness that didn't require thought in the way that our minds, brains rather, are programmed and designed to register them. This is beyond light speed, if you will." A man whose pulse and breathing stopped experienced the following. "During the entire incident, I felt as though I had never been more alert. My mind was fast, even though physically I was unconscious." Unlike dreams or death. Responses like these suggest that consciousness continues after death. To understand how remarkable it is to have a conscious experience at the time of clinical death, it is helpful to understand what happens at the moment of death. Many NDEs are associated with a cardiac arrest, which means the heart stops beating. Among those having a cardiac arrest, about 10 to 20% will have a near-death experience. At the time of a life-threatening event, it cannot be predicted who will have a near-death experience and who will not. As discussed in Chapter 2, when the heart stops beating, blood immediately stops flowing to the brain. Approximately 10 to 20 seconds after blood stops flowing to the brain, the electroencephalogram, EEG, which measures brain electrical activity, goes flat. The EEG measures electrical activity in the cortex, or outer part of the brain, which is responsible for conscious thought. Following cardiac arrest, a lucid, organized, and conscious experience should be impossible. With a flat EEG, it is still possible for electrical activity to be present in the lower parts of the brain, such as in the brainstem. There is no chance that electrical activity in these lower parts of the brain could account for such a highly lucid and ordered experience as described by NDEers. Lucidity, coupled with the predictable order of elements, establishes that NDEers are not dreams or hallucinations, nor are they due to any other causes of impaired brain functioning. The first version of the NDERF survey asked, was the experience dreamlike in any way, and allowed only a narrative answer. The response to this question was generally an adamant no. This indicates that NDEers were not having dreams. This finding is especially significant given that the wording of the question encouraged a positive response if any part of the NDE was dreamlike. The lucidity of the near-death experience becomes apparent when we look at descriptions of vision during NDEs. In the many hundreds of NDE case studies I have reviewed, descriptions of vision are often so dramatic that I must remind myself that the NDEers are generally unconscious and often clinically dead at the time they are experiencing extraordinary vision. Colors are often described as unworldly in their variety and beauty. Once again, I am listing several random examples from the NDERF case studies to illustrate the lucidity of vision in NDEs. A man who experienced three near-death experiences wrote, "The colors on the other side are the brightest colors. Our most fluorescent colors on this earth are muddy compared to the brightness and vividness of the colors that are in heaven." A woman who suffered a heart attack and stroke reported, "I wanted to see color again, and when I did, it was fantastic. I saw colors I could never explain, a shade of red that I will never forget." A woman who was unresponsive after a motorcycle accident said, "I was taken to a beautiful meadow with the most gorgeous plant life and colors so vibrant that I've never seen anywhere. It was amazing." Leading NDE researcher Dr. Grayson is seeing the same lucidity and higher level of consciousness in the NDEs he studies as I am seeing in the NDERF study. Dr. Grayson and his co-researchers say, "Near-death experiencers often describe their mental processes during the NDE as remarkably clear and lucid, and their sensory experiences as unusually vivid, surpassing those of their normal waking state. An analysis of 520 cases in our collection showed that 80% of experiencers described their thinking during the NDE as clearer than usual, or as clear as usual. Furthermore, in our collection, people reported enhanced mental functioning significantly more often when they were actually physiologically close to death than when they were not." Beyond normal senses. Vision during NDEs is usually different from earthly vision. An NDERF survey question asked, "Did your vision differ in any way from your normal everyday vision, in any aspect, such as clarity, field of vision, colors, brightness, depth perception, degree of solidness, transparency of objects, etc.?" Of the 613 NDEers responding, 66.1% answered, "Yes." 15% answered uncertain, and only 18.9% answered no. Hundreds of NDEers then provided a narrative explanation of how vision during their NDEs differed from earthly vision. Review of these narratives reveals that many NDEers describe vision as unworldly in its brightness, clarity, and vividness. Very few NDEers describe their NDE vision as diminished in comparison to their earthly vision. Many NDEers indicate they have 360-degree vision during their experience, sometimes even more than that. The term 360 degrees refers to two dimensions only, while NDEers often report spherical, three-dimensional visual awareness simultaneously in all directions, forward, backward, right, left, above, and below. For example, a child we'll call Ray was horsing around on a school playground. His friend wanted to show him a new judo throw. Ray was thrown and was knocked senseless when he landed on his head. He could see simultaneously in all directions as he recounted the event. I still had a body, but it was entirely different. I could see in three dimensions as if I had no body at all, but was just a floating eyeball, for lack of a better explanation. I could see all directions at once, yet there were no directions or dimensions as we think of them. People who have had near-death experiences often describe enhanced and even supernormal vision. This is powerful evidence that something other than the physical brain is responsible for vision during NDEs. We will explore this concept further in Chapter 5 when we examine visual NDEs in the blind, including those blind from birth. The sense of hearing during a near-death experience may be different from everyday hearing, but to a lesser degree than noted with vision. The NDERF survey asked NDEers, did your hearing differ in any way from your normal everyday hearing in any aspect, such as clarity, ability to recognize source of sound, pitch, loudness, etc.? To this question, 46% of NDEers answered yes, 22.2% answered uncertain, and 31.8% answered no. Many went on to describe what they meant. One such description came from Mark, a young man who was found to have an obstructed artery in his heart. The cardiologist tried to insert a device called a stent into the artery, but a complication developed requiring emergency surgery. While recovering from surgery, Mark's weakened heart stopped. As the doctors worked feverishly to bring him back, Mark took a journey down the most beautiful road I have ever seen, one that took him through a mountain paradise. As he took a walk through this heavenly place, Mark began to hear a voice that seemed to be from nowhere, yet everywhere. Mark, you must go back. Go back? No, no, I can't go back. Again the voice said, you must return. I have given you a task. You have not finished. No, no, please, God, no. Let me stay. With lightning speed, I was naked moving backward through the darkest of darkness. There were lightning bolts all about me, from my feet to the top of my head. Enormous lightning bolts, going in all directions into the darkness. Despite the brightness of the lightning, the light from it did not penetrate the awful darkness. Mark recovered. Later, when he described his experience for the NDERF website, Mark indicated that of all of the sensory events of that day, one that stood out was the unique clarity of the sound. As Mark said, all sound was incredibly clear. The voice of the Supreme Being seemed to emulate from nowhere, but at the same time from everywhere. Words did not come from the mouths of beings, but from the aura around them. Here are some other descriptions from NDEers that emphasize the quality of sound during their NDEs. I heard sound, and it wasn't like the sound we hear in our ears. It didn't seem to be coming from anywhere, it was just there. It did not seem to be there because of vibration or wind or anything. I can't describe it. Clearer and crisper, as if in a chamber of silence listening to whispers. Super clear. I am slightly hard of hearing. During that time, I could hear everything. Super hearing would be a better term. Sounds of silence. Before you assume that NDEs always produce a stereophonic treat, consider this. The NDERF study found that the absence of sound during a near-death experience is more common than prior research has revealed. In our study, many NDEers experienced notable silence during their NDE, and that silence seems to be comforting for most who experience it. One eloquent NDEer said, I left my body to the wonderful sound of silence, pure, loving, graceful silence. Another respondent, Joseph, described an experience that took place during an asthma attack that was so severe, his medications had no effect, and he began to thrash for breath. As Joseph told it, I could feel myself thrashing, but it was this other feeling that I was most concerned about. There was this overwhelming feeling of energy coming over my entire body. I tried to fight it off with willpower, but it kept coming stronger and stronger and stronger, and finally, I couldn't keep it at bay any longer. I remember thinking to myself, I just can't do it anymore. Then as soon as I thought it, pop, this stillness came over me and my thoughts, and I wasn't scared anymore. It was insanely quiet, and I realized that I was still there, and standing, no less, which was impossible due to the fact that I had just collapsed backward a few minutes earlier. And then it dawned on me that I had just passed on. Wow. This profound lack of sound seems to have had a deep effect, Joseph wrote. There was no sound at all. It was the most peaceful silence I had ever experienced. Kind of like being submerged in water, with no one else around to make a sound. Thick, thick silence. The experience was not uncomfortable for Joseph. Rather, it was like being in a state of meditation. This intense silence, which Joseph links to a sense of peace, has carried over into his life. Now, says Joseph, he is much calmer and lower key than before his experience. The things I got aggravated over in the past no longer have the same effect. If I go into my memory, I seem to have the ability to feel it all over again at will. All five of the human senses of seeing, hearing, touch, taste, and smell have been described in NDEs. Heightened senses, enhanced vision and hearing, and accelerated consciousness are some of the most dramatic aspects of NDEs. Clearly, these enhanced senses are not in keeping with the clinical meaning of unconscious or clinically dead. It is medically inexplicable for anyone to have a heightened sense of consciousness while being at the brink of death. These experiences are not dreams or illusory fragments of memory from a dying brain. Near-death experiences are real. There are no other experiences of altered consciousness in which the experiences are so lucid, consciousness is so enhanced, and the experiences are so consistently ordered as in NDEs. The ENDER study, and virtually every study published in this field, shows this consistent pattern of heightened senses and consciousness, which leads some to call the experience a lucid death. Skeptics, NDEers may not be near death. Still, there are those in the scientific community who don't believe that a lucid death takes place. Some of them feel that in prior near-death experience studies, the definition of near-death was too loose, and that it included those who are not physically near death. Perhaps, the skeptics speculate, prior NDE studies included many case studies of those who were not truly near death. The lucid experiences would be explained by the fact that these people did not really have a close brush with death. For the ENDERF research, we took these concerns into consideration. The ENDERF study included only those people who reported an imminent, life-threatening event at the time of their NDE. The ENDERF definition of such an event is very strict and includes only events in which people are physically compromised to the extent that death would be imminent without a change in their physical condition. Generally speaking, the individual reports being so physically compromised that they are unconscious and often clinically dead. Anyone who does not fit this definition is not included in our study. One of the more common skeptical explanations of NDE has been hypoxia. Hypoxia means reduced oxygen levels in the blood and the tissues of the body, including the brain. Hypoxia may occur in a variety of conditions, including cardiac arrest and other life-threatening events that result in loss of consciousness. Most doctors are quite familiar with the symptoms of hypoxia, which may include headaches, confusion, memory loss, and fatigue. As hypoxia worsens, it may result in increasing confusion and finally unconsciousness. If you've ever found yourself extremely short of breath for any reason, you may have experienced some of the symptoms of hypoxia. If so, unless your hypoxia was so severe that it was a life-threatening event, I'm sure what you experienced had nothing in common with the elements of a near-death experience. Near-death experiences almost never have confused memories that are typical of the experience of hypoxia. The fact that highly lucid and organized near-death experiences occur at a time of severe hypoxia is further evidence of the extraordinary and inexplicable state of consciousness that typically occurs during NDEs. Responding to the Oprah factor. Another appropriate concern from the skeptics is whether the content of people's reported NDEs is influenced by how much they know about NDEs at the time of their experience. Some of the more clever researchers call this the Oprah factor because of the great job Oprah Winfrey's television show has done to increase knowledge of NDEs. The skeptics' reasoning goes like this. If the NDEer is aware of NDEs at the time of their own experience, will that affect what they share about their own experience later? Before the 1975 publication of Dr. Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life, there would have been no possibility of this happening because the general public did not yet know the specific elements of the NDE. Still, as a skeptic in my own right, I conducted a study to see if the Oprah factor had indeed affected what NDEers share. The study was a simple one. I compared responses to 21 survey questions in our first NDERF survey from people whose NDEs occurred before 1975 with people whose NDEs occurred after 1975. To tell you the truth, the results surprised me. The same NDE elements occurred in the pre-1975 group as in the post-1975 group. What is more, the same elements took place with the same frequency. This study strongly suggests that the content of NDEs is not influenced by prior knowledge of NDEs. Another and even more convincing study was conducted by Gina Athapoli, MD and Associates in 2006. She reviewed 24 NDEs that were shared and recorded prior to 1975, before NDE was publicly known, with a matched group of 24 accounts shared after 1975. Her study found that the NDEs from these two different time periods differed only in that the NDEs recorded after 1975 showed more frequent description of a tunnel. The authors concluded, "These data challenge the hypothesis that near-death experience accounts are substantially influenced by prevailing cultural models." The Oprah factor was also addressed by the NDERF survey question. Did you have any knowledge of near-death experience, NDE, prior to your experience? Of all NDEers surveyed, 66.4% responded no, which I felt was a surprisingly high percentage. Standard logic does not apply. I have looked at thousands of case studies filled with solid evidence of a lucid death. The only conclusion I can come to is that consciousness leaves the body at death. I know this means that standard logic does not apply, that death might not really mean a final death as we have come to know it. That is why this chapter is titled Lucid Death. I believe that having a vivid and conscious experience at the time of clinical death is among the best evidence available to suggest a conscious existence after bodily death. It presents one of the strongest lines of evidence of the afterlife.